As we go to air, Indonesians are voting in an unprecedented mega election. It's the first time presidential, legislative, provincial, district and city elections have been held all on the same day. 193 million eligible voters across 17,000 islands are voting for 300,000 candidates. The incumbent president, Joko Widodo, faces off against his old challenger, Prabowo Subianto, to take the top job. Allegations of corruption are rife since the discovery of pre-marked votes found in a Malaysian warehouse. Professor Tim Lindsay, director of the Centre for Indonesian Law, Islam and Society, told The Wire's Rowan Neagle that Indonesia faces the same challenges as all of today's democracies.
Indonesia is no exception to the worldwide trends, both towards social media connectedness and abuse of that for political purposes. In fact, Indonesia is very active in this field. It has about 130 million Facebook users, making it the fourth largest Facebook market in the world. And 70% of Indonesians live in urban communities, have access to the internet. So this is not a rural backwater. This is a vibrant social media community, and there has been all the sort of problems you've seen in other countries. There are hoaxes, fake news. There are social media influencers for hire being exploited by political parties to spread malicious campaign misinformation. In fact, this campaign has been particularly bitter and nasty in that regard.
We know that there's going to be two major people running for president, but what about parties and maybe even some of the minor parties that might be rising up within this election?
The threshold for parties to actually survive in the national legislature has been increased. So a lot of the minor parties will be knocked out. Look, the really interesting battle, I think, is between the two candidates for the presidency. The first is the incumbent, Joko Widodo, known as Jokowi, who won in 2014. And as a rematch of that election, we have the same challenger, Prabowo Subianto, who's a former general with a pretty nasty human rights record, a former son-in-law of the authoritarian ruler of Indonesia who fell in 1998, President Suharto. So he's running again, trying to overthrow Jokowi, but it doesn't look like he's going to win at the moment. The polls suggest Jokowi, the incumbent, has a double-digit lead. Well, what's interesting is that Prabowo has reinvented himself as a candidate for hardline conservative Islamists who back him, even though his mother and his brother are Christians and he's not a particularly devout Muslim. And the reason this is happening is because the conservative Islamists who want to apply Sharia law more extensively in Indonesia than it is, they loathe and despise the incumbent Jokowi so much that they will vote for anyone who is not Jokowi. Because Prabowo is the only challenger, he's their enemy's enemy, and so they've lined themselves up behind him. If Prabowo loses tonight, which is likely, then we will almost certainly see those groups trying to demonstrate against Jokowi's victory in the street. So we're probably going to see rallies and protests for a few days at least.
There's a lot of religiosity demonstrations between both of these candidates as part of their political strategies to try and win votes. Was that something that was happening in 2014?
The debate in 2014 was really about continuing on a path of democratisation or returning to an authoritarian era. The rise of growing intolerance and conservatism amongst some Indonesian Muslims has created a new dynamic of these intolerant conservative groups who target Jokowi, and that's reinvented the nature of this electoral battle between the two, again, in quite different grounds of religiosity. And I think you have to link that new sort of rising intolerance that's been developing over the last 20 years to broader conservatism in the world, sort of right-wing populism, the alt-right in Indonesia, if you like, wears a turban. It's the Islamist area.
What kind of effect would this election have if it was to go one way or the other?
I don't know that it would make all that much difference because there's not much policy difference between them. And what happens after these elections is that there's a whole lot of horse trading going on for months and months. Whoever wins will try to form a government in the national legislature. They will try to create a cabinet. They appoint their cabinet members from outside government on the American model. And we will see the powerful tycoons who fund these very expensive election campaigns all wanting to be have their representatives win a ministry and get leverage in the new government. In the end, the governments may not end up being all that different to the government that would have formed under the other person. The only big difference is it would create problems if Prabowo won for many countries because he has a terrible human rights record. He's previously, in the past, he's admitted to being involved in the abduction of dissidents, some of whom have never returned. That seems to have been quietly forgotten in Indonesia, but for many other countries, it would be quite difficult for them to deal with this individual. They would deal with him, but it would just create problems. For example, if he visited Australia, there'd be protests.
Professor Tim Lindsay, he's director of the Centre for Indonesian Law, Islam and Society at the Melbourne Law School, speaking to The Wire's Rowan Neagle.